beloved listeners, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast, brought to you by the publication arm of Chimdi Ohuna Ministry International Komi. Our vision is to empower individuals to reach full spiritual completeness in God through the insightful teaching and preaching of the Word of God. The Grace Life Komi Podcast offers every believer a continuous stream of fresh, simple, yet deeply impactful teaching episodes that engender the revelation light of Christ Jesus. Our objective is to motivate and uplift individuals through the provision of enlightening content that facilitates a profound exploration of faith. Grace Life Komi Podcast is dedicated to fostering a beneficial impact on the lives of our audience, aiming to positively transform their spiritual journey and enhance their connection with faith. Chimdi and Funke Ohuna delivers teachings that aim to illuminate the profound truth and significance of the person and the work of Christ, providing essential guidance and instruction for nurturing and developing believers in their relationship with Christ. We urge you to remain connected to the Grace Life Komi Podcast and engage with us, a platform where believers can immerse themselves in teachings, cultivate knowledge, and form connections with like-minded seekers of Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
Awakenings, and if you look at the revival, they were traceable to men who were tired of the status quo. Are we together? Men who were tired of the mess. And they had a restlessness in their spirit. And they began to cry for something more. So when men get to the point of getting tired of the status quo, something breaks loose. Martin Luther went through penance. He tried to make propitiation for his sin. He tried to make atonement for his sin. Because then in the Catholic Church, you were made to believe that you have to do confession and, as it were, in quote, make propitiation for your own sin. And he did everything to be pleasing to God. It was that serious that he would crawl with his knee from a far distance to the church just to be pleasing to God. And the more he tried to be pleasing to God, the more he was seeing himself not pleasing to God. He did another style of penance, which was what? Self-torture, flogging yourself with a whip, just to be pleasing to God. Yet he discovered that he was not still pleasing to God. There was an emptiness in him. And that emptiness called him to the place of the Word of God. And as he began to study the Word of God, he discovered that Christ has paid the price for us. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the blood of Jesus washes us from all unrighteousness. And he said, if Jesus did this for me, why should I do it for myself? If Jesus justified me, to be justified means to be declared not guilty. If Jesus justified me, why should I justify myself? And it made him sit more to study. And as he studied more, he discovered that he has been getting it wrong under wrong teaching. And he wrote 99 theses and pasted it on the Catholic door, on the door of the church. And that was what brought about a revolution that the world cannot recover from today. Why? Because somebody got tired of the status quo. Until men get tired of the status quo remains. Amen.
Amen.
And that is why the cry of revival is very important. Because we must get tired of the status quo. See, complaining will only complicate problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? In fact, the more we complain, the more things get worse off. But if people get tired of complaining, they will take the next option. And there are two options in life. Complain and complicate it. Act and change it. Either you complain and complicate it, or you what? And you act and change it. So those are the two options. And more often than not, the fallen human nature tends to the first, complain and complicate. The train of Israel murmured against God. Holy Spirit, we ask that you teach us today. We ask for your presence to reveal your word to us and release upon us the anointing to pray like never before, in the name of Jesus. The train of Israel murmured against God. And God says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. God does not remember sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? We are the ones who remember. God does not remember. He doesn't remember sin. But when they murmured against God, God told Moses, these 10 times has the children of Israel murmured against me. God does not remember sin. That means it doesn't count sin. Is that not so? Are we together? But for God to count the murmuring of the Israelites, it meant that murmuring was a very, very, very dangerous matter to deal with. Why? Because when you murmur, you muddle up things. And when you complain, you complicate things. It always keeps you in a state of confusion and delusion. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so you don't know where next to go. One of the things the devil wants you to do is to start up by complaining about the society, complain about the government, complain about your family, complain about, just wants you to murmur and complain. Because once you start murmuring and you start complaining about the things happening in your society, things happening in your environment, things happening in your church, you just start what? Muddling up everything and you start complicating everything, so you don't know what next to do. That's the simple principle the devil operates in. And by the time he gets to the point of murmuring and complaining, you get confused. And once you get to confusion, what next is that you start crying? Tears in difficult situations is the end result of confusion. When people start crying in difficult situations, it means they are already what? Confused. They don't know what to do. Especially when you see a man in a difficult situation and he starts crying. He's serious. He doesn't know what to do. And once the devil can get you to the point of tears in difficult situations, the next thing he has done to you is to close your vision. Because tears will always cloud your vision to see your provision. Hagar left her son, said, I don't want to sit by him and see him die. Are we together? And she left the son and went further and was crying. As she was crying, tears clouded her vision. And number one, she didn't know that an angel stood by her side. Are we together? Number two, she didn't know that a well was by her side. Whenever complaining and murmuring take their toll, confusion sets in. And after confusion is what? The cloudiness of vision. As the vision is clouded, what happens? You will never see the presence of God by your side, and you never see the provision of God by your side. And when the angel was done talking with her, she looked by her side and she saw a well. The question is, was it a well that was instantly created? No. The well did not just instantly happen. Are you getting what I'm saying? The well was not just an instant, spontaneous, miraculous operation like many of us who always want. We are looking for one spontaneous, instant, miraculous creation. No, that was not the well. Are we together? The well was always by her side. But because of what? Challenges. The complaining, the pain, and the murmuring had complicated everything for her, and her vision was clouded. She could not see the provision of the well. Are we together? And above all, she could not even see the presence of God. And when we see, we began on the first day of this prayer meeting, that the train of Israel were experiencing a succession of losses. Is that not so? What the canker worm are taking, eating, and remain. The palmer worm came, ate, and remain. The caterpillar came, ate, and remain. And succession of, and if you look at our society today, that's what is happening. One government comes and say, we will come and do. They come and do. They eat and go. The next government comes and say the last government finished the money in the post. Is that not so? But when they say the last government finished the money, but you'll be surprised how they are collecting money again. They'll tell you there's no money, but they're collecting money. Where's the money coming from? It's the same principle. And what the devil wants us to always do is to complain and murmur. And then get into the point of what? Visionlessness. Are we together? But we must understand something, that in the move of revival, God does not move nations. God moves men. Are we together? He places the burden in one man. One man. One man. And that man begins to give attention to that burden. As he gives more attention to that burden, what happens is that that burden now grows bigger than him. Are we together? But more often, we are looking for a burden that is national. No, there's no national burden. Go through scriptures. Every revival, the book of Joel, it was Joel the prophet that was speaking, is that not so? Hosea. Hosea was speaking. If you want to understand Joel very well, go and read Hosea first. You understand Joel better. Jeremiah was speaking. Isaiah was speaking. Every one of them, it was one man that God put the burden in him. And that burden became bigger than him and became a national burden. So it makes us understand that revival begins on a personal note. More often than not, we are waiting for a national revival. Are we together? But God does not do national revivals. God does what? Personal revivals. Praise God. Personal revivals. When the revival becomes a personal issue, in no time, it will become a national issue. Until it is personal to you. Have you ever heard somebody say, don't take it personal now? Is that not so? You've heard such things. Don't take it personal. When they say don't take it personal, that means this thing is affecting you too much. Don't take it personal. But see, revival is something that is taking personal. If it is not taking personal, it cannot become national. Are we together? So one of the problems we have had over the years is that we have been looking for national revival without personal revival. Nobody is taking this thing personal. And so, we are waiting for it to happen nationally. As a popular saying goes, anybody said that somebody could do the thing that nobody did. So everybody is waiting for a national revival, but nobody is taking it as a personal revival. Are we together? Until it becomes a personal burden, it cannot become a national burden. And when it becomes a personal burden, you discover that in no time, this fire will begin to spread gradually. And then what happens? It enters into what? Nationally. So we must understand the place of personal revival. Personal revival begins with self and it ends with the people. It begins with what? Self. And it ends with the people. So if you have not been revived, nobody can be revived through you. I remember when I came to Ghana, 2017, I and my family were attending a church, and then, you know, one day I stood up and I gave answers, I discovered that the pastor was, he knew I was as a minister of the gospel, but he was always trying to hide me in church. You know, he had a self-esteem issue. I've always had people that when I come around, they have a self-esteem issue. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not the church person. Are you getting me? So, I just want to help the body of Christ. I just want to minister to the body of Christ. And so, he was always trying to hide me. And one day, I stood up and I answered questions. I discovered that people started clapping. And the attention moved from him to me. And somebody told his brother-in-law in church. Brother-in-law was a youth coordinator. And he told him, invite this guy to come and preach to your youth. He's just coming to Nigeria. He's just coming to Ghana, so he's still on fire. My mind, I laughed. You know why I laughed? They thought I was just coming from Nigeria and that's why I'm still on fire. But they didn't know I was just coming from Congo. And while you leave Nigeria, Nigerians that leave Nigeria, check them, they lose fire. Once you leave Nigeria, you lose fire. To go and stay in another country, you lose fire. You lose fire. There was a time in Congo, and my wife were praying for 6 hours every day. Problem does not make us cry. Problem makes us pray. When problem comes, we start praying. So that problem came, we started praying. So once you bring problem to us, we start praying. And it sparked something. So they thought I was coming from Nigeria. That was how I was on fire. It didn't know I was just coming from Congo. Where I should have cool fire. Rather, fire intensified. And how many years in Ghana? I told them once when I was in Accra, I said, the spirit in Accra wants to kill your fire. Number one, it wants to make you compromise. Number two, it wants to kill your fire. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the spirit there would have killed. I came from Accra last year. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everything the devil threw at me to make me compromise that will kill my fire. Nothing. I came from Accra last year and I'm doing revival meeting this year. So this thing is not about, whether I just come from Nigeria or not. It's about a burning desire, personal issue that you are seeking for a national issue. I get what I'm saying? And so he said that, and the pastor, the youth president never invited me. I don't care. Why do I not care? Because this personal issue is not today it started. I get what I'm saying? It didn't start today. My mother told me she was baptized in the Holy Ghost when she was pregnant with me. So she knew that there was something about this one. She told me my water broke before time. So I was in a hurry to come and manifest. And at the age of 6, I started desiring to preach. So I had a mentor then. And when my father is not around, my elder brothers will carry my father's coat and put on me. And I'll hold stick and I'll be shouting. And what do I have to shout? You don't serve a dead God. You serve a living. They bought me for Warina. At the age of 6. Come on! Come on! Lose your grip and in the name of Jesus. He knows what I'm talking about. At the age of 6. At 11, I gathered everybody in my secondary school. Everybody to the dining hall. And I preached to them. So it's not an issue that just came up. Are you getting what I'm saying? I was talking to you about early satisfaction. And I said, for God to satisfy you early, you have to seek him early. Coming by 6 a.m. to come and pray is not child's play, it's not biscuit. You know you are tired, you know yesterday's work, what it was like. And you are here by 6 a.m. David said, satisfy me early, O Lord. After he made the prayer, he went later and said, God, this thing is not by prayer. It's not by hocus pocus, it's not by snap of the finger. He said, God, if you have to satisfy me early, what do I do? He said, early will I seek thee. So the secret to early satisfaction is early seeking. So I began to seek God from an early age. And it was a personal issue. The body of Christ has been a personal issue, to my life. So until the issues, your national issues, become personal issues, they cannot bring about what? A national revival. Until revival becomes a personal issue to you, it cannot bring about national revival. We are praying for national revival, but there's nothing like national revival without personal revival. And that's what is happening. And that's why we are having more organized religion that is not solving the problem of society. Are we together? Organized religion is not the solution to societal problems. It is men that are on fire that is the solution to societal problems. I told you the story of how somebody came to a city and he discovered that there was no alcohol shop open, no cigarette in the city. And he asked, what is happening here? How come there's no alcohol shop open? And they told him, 100 years ago, a man passed through this city. And 100 years after, we are still feeling the effect of his. It is the Bible, it did not say the man stayed there. He did not stay there. He passed through. And 100 years after, we are still feeling the effect of his passing through. John Wesley. Personal revival. Personal revival. Personal revival. Men that set themselves on fire and it became a personal issue to them. Say, I take the person. Yes, I take it to personal. My revival is a personal matter. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a personal matter. If it's not personal, will it be your own? Is it your revival? Is it not my revival? It's my revival. You see that today when we have push and start Christians, it's because they don't understand what personal revival means. Push and start Christians. I'm not into the business of. I was talking to somebody Sunday ago, and I was like, I don't preach to church folks again. I don't have that time to. I listened to a big man, a great man of God, a man of God that I respect so much. He blessed my life. He said, I have finished all my message, all my pastoral messages. I don't have pastoral messages again. A big man of God in this country said, I finished all my pastoral message. I don't have pastoral message again. He said, as a pastor, you have to encourage them. You have to encourage them. You have to encourage them. He said, I finished all the message. I don't have them again. He's always on the field. Always crusade. Always doing gospel campaigns. Everywhere, gospel campaigns. I began to wonder, why? Yes, I know that there was an evangelistic call on him from even when he began his ministry. He used to be a very serious evangelist, going up and down evangelizing, and that's why he could have a mega church. Are you getting what I'm saying? But he just left church ministry and started focusing on the outreach. God told him about that, actually. And he began to focus on the outreach. But more than just God telling him to go out and win souls, is the fact that some of them are really getting tired of this thing we are calling church. Push and start Christianity. Did your father ever have a push and start car? Okay. My father had a push and start car. You know when it will worry you? You know when that car will worry you? When you need it the most to work. When we are finished bathing, we are finished dressing, prepare for school, my father will warm the car. He will warm the car first too. So the engine will warm before we come. Before we come to. By the time it's time to go now. You see? By the time it's time to go to school, The car that they won before, you start it problem. Then we have dressed for school, we now have to push the car. And you push it, you sweat, you push it, it will disgrace you publicly. Why are we having this kind of Christianity? Push and start Christianity. Look at the church. I told the person, I said, I don't have time teaching church folks. I don't have time teaching church folks. I don't have time. And they were like, why? Why? I said, okay, let me ask you a question. Can you sit on that 1 hour teaching? She said, yeah. I said, can you sit on that 6 hour teaching? She said, oh. I said, so that's what I'm saying here. That's what I'm saying. We can't manage push. I can't keep managing push and start Christianity. Even senior men of God are getting tired. See them all up and down. They are doing gospel campaign. They are traveling. Think they are traveling just because they want to be so. Part of the traveling, number one priority is because they want to be so. Number two is because they are tired of this push and start Christianity. A man of God's preaching said during COVID, that was the time he enjoyed church. But this is the man of God that his church capacity, his church can see 70,000 people. And the church is full. But say he enjoyed church the most during COVID, when it was only him, his wife, and two of his daughter, and one other, only about 10 of them or 5 of them that came to church. That's when he enjoyed church. Is that not driving something to our head? They were gathering the crowd, but they are not revived. And that's why people see Acts. He said, with all the plenty churches, why is there still crime everywhere? Then we ask that question. And they are still asking. Because if one man passed through a city and alcohol shop closed for 100 years, how come we are having 1 million men and yet alcohol shops are increasing? Something is wrong somewhere. And the worst people to deal with is Christians. Christians, and don't go near pastors. Over the years, I've been very sensitive with, even if you are, I don't have pastor friend that I can say, okay, I open up like that, finish for you. Are you getting me? No. And I'm very sensitive when I'm dealing with minister of the gospel. When I do one, two, if I notice you, I by the grace of God, I will think 10 times ahead of you when you are thinking. And every of your step, I'm watching it. No matter who you are, no matter the minister of the gospel, no matter how high you are, every of your step, I'm watching it. I'm interpreting your steps. I'm interpreting them. So when I just see where a step you have matched line wrongly, as you match the line, I match back small. That's how God has kept me. But is that meant to be so? Are you getting what I'm saying? Because we have sought for national revivals without personal revivals. Amen. And it is killing the work of revival seriously. Go through history. No revival began with a nation. Every revival began with a man. God will so deal with a man, deal with the man, deal with man. God told Uzziah, go and let me show you, let me do you something. Say, what are you doing? Say, okay, now let me do you something. Say, go and marry a prostitute. Eh? He said, yes, go and marry a prostitute. He said, but God, what sin have I committed? I've been a holy man. Why a prostitute? God said, yes, I'm a holy God. I didn't commit any sin for your people Israel to be dealing with me like this. So go and marry a prostitute. Let me show you the way Israel is doing me. I always tell people and they don't understand. That for God to use you effectively, he must allow you to go through what he has gone through effectively. He did the same to Uzziah. Uzziah married the woman. The woman went out after he paid her bribe. She went out prostituting. She went out prostituting again. In fact, at the point in time, they wanted to stone her to death. He ran. Hey, he came. He bought her. He bought her back. They wanted to sell her as a slave. He came. He used his money. Somebody had paid bride price before. He had taken care of her. She had given her to child for him. She went out to prostitute again. He saw that they wanted to sell her. He ran again. He bought her. After buying her the first time with bride price, he had to buy again. The Bible makes us understand that we have been bought with a price. Glorify the Lord in your body. But the way we Christians behave, we behave as if Jesus bought with his price the first time. We wanted to buy us more and more again. He bought her again. And he brought her home again. She had another child. She went and hurried again. See, I want to show you the way Israel is doing me. So until God makes you feel what he feels, he cannot use you the way his heart beats. So sometimes you see, why am I going through? The reason why you're going through all this is because God wants you to feel what he feels. And God wants you to have the heart for souls, for revival. And it begins with you. Jeremiah showed us last week. He said, this thing is like fire in my bone. I said, I will not talk. But something will push me and will talk. I wanted to give my first child, Jeremiah. So I went to study the life of Jeremiah. in one of my Bible study materials. When I studied his life, I said, no, I will not give my child in my hand. I changed the name. Thank God the Lord gave me the right name finally. It's because according to my study, I discovered that he had an emotionally damaged life. His life was emotionally damaged. Why? Because he doesn't want, he's tired of talking for God, but God said, you will talk by force. He's tired of talking to these people. Oh, some of you don't understand. Some of us, you don't know what we have been through. You don't know what we have been through. We say we don't want to talk again. We say we don't want to talk again, but we must talk. We say we don't want to love, but we must love. We say we don't want to preach, but we must preach. Something will be hungry in us. We cannot manage it. We must preach. I began to ask the Lord, God, if there's any place to pray for revival, it should be my country. I love my nation like no man's business. I never desire to live outside my country. I desire to travel out and preach and come back, but not to live outside my country. 10 years this year makes me 10 years living outside my country. And I've only visited my country for 1 month. In these 10 years, I've only seen my parents for 2 weeks. And I came to another man's country praying for revival. Country, no, that's not my country. It's not my country. I said, God, why didn't you allow me to pray this revival in my country? I love my country. See what's happening to my country. Why? With all the damages, in the space of 5 years in Accra, I lived in five different houses. Five different houses. I just looked at my status this morning. I wonder if the caretaker of the house I lived. The guy checked my status again. That guy worried, I worry him. 5 years, five different houses. And this is somebody that is a landlord. He has his own house. I have my own house in my country. And I leave my house to come and be suffering from landlord. No man's country. Suffering from buying land, they drive me away from land. I buy that land, they drive me from the land. In 3 years, I had sued 3 people to court because they wanted to steal my money, brought the light. Money that they did not give me. And God, you should be praying for this kind of country. You don't understand what I'm saying, sir. But remember, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Say, for God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet what? We're still sinners. Oh, Christ died for us. Bible says, scarcely shall a man die for a just man. But Christ died for us. Oh. So in other words, this one that wants to kill you, when he was on the cross, they were killing him. He said, Lord, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. This same country that wants to kill you, this one I want you to pray for. What is the matter, Lord? This same country that hates you, that is the country I want to pray for. At least in my country, they should love me small. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even though I did ministry in Benin City, and I'm not a Benin man, as an Igbo man, and Benin City people think like you people in Ghana here. Yeah. Yes. South South, did they think like this? Am I lying? He's a South South man. Once you are not from the South South, nobody will listen to you. I did ministry, nobody wanted to listen to me. And number two, I cannot speak Igbo. So, double problem. So the Igbo people will not even gravitate towards me. So I was lost in the crowd. Not an Igbo man, not a Benin man. Problem. They will not follow me. The people that even managed to follow me small, Kwale. They resemble us small. Kwale. And then Urobo Strokishan. Uh-huh. But the Benin, they won't follow you. Benin people are hardcore their people. Am I lying? Even if Benin man is wrong, is killing them, they will follow Benin man. It's not there to follow a right another tribe. They follow Benin man that is killing them. Is that not Ghana life? And exactly, Akan people. Tree would rather follow their person that is killing them than to follow another language that is giving them life. Say, God, why this place? Why the place where I'm being hurt the most? Why you want me to pray there? But that is what the love of God does. Are you getting what I'm saying? God does not love the saint. God loves the sinner. John 3:16, is that not so? For God so what? Now you know your Bible, he loved the word. Did he say for God so loved the saint? He said he loved the word. It's from the word that he loved that saints came out to, don't forget. So, especially when you see there is no need for revival. When you see that, what am I wasting my time for? That is the time to invest your time. It begins with personal revival. Personal revival. Personal revival. And when it begins indoors and ends what? Outdoor. More often, we want it to be outdoor. That's why before you know, we have gathered people. Are you getting what I'm saying? But before you gather people, sir, What have you done in your closet? Are you getting me? Before you gather people, after the first meeting, you told me you want the next meeting you want us to use sound. Is that not so? What did I tell you? What did I tell you? I said, don't need for sound. He told me, I want us to use sound. I said, no need for sound. Sir, what is the use gathering the crowd when we have not seated the thing inside us yet? Why should I be calling people by 6 a.m. with microphone? When the ones we are inside together yet, we have not been grounded. By the privilege of God's grace, my mom told me years ago that the Lord told her, she's a Bible concordance, anywhere. When she said, mommy, I want to, please, where is this place in the Bible? She will tell you, go to so-so-so place. If it is not verse this, it will be verse that. Go there, it is it. My mama, Bible here. All the scriptures inside here. All she does is to be reading Bible. Even with glasses, she will carry a torchlight and reading. I'm reading Bible. She told me, one day she told me, the Lord told her that she will never lack message to preach anytime she's called. So whether it is impromptu or it is with preparation, she will never lack message. If you see the preaching anointing on my life, the singing anointing is my mother. Then the leadership, I'm trying to take it from my father. And that same anointing is at work in my life. Call me anytime, any day. Wake me up, I'll preach. I'll teach. I'll minister in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'll minister. But the anointing transferred from her to me. But I still had a place of personal what? So before you go outdoor, do indoor. Settle indoor. I told us about John Knox, who cried unto God, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. Did I not tell us about him? And it is said that the place he used to kneel down in his room to pray, his prayer room, that spot where he used to kneel down, his knee dug a hole in that spot. His knees dug a hole in that spot. And the wall he used to face and pray, his breath from his mouth created spots on the wall. And the Queen of England said, I fear the prayer of John Knox more than 1,000 battalions of England soldiers. When Hitler was coming to England during the World War, when he was coming to England, he was moving with his troop to England. And they alerted the Queen of England that he's coming. The Queen of England, they were not prepared. What do we do? And John Knox was alerted. John Knox stood up and said, I move them away. Something happened. Hitler just said he changed his mind. He's not going to England again. He's going to somewhere else. You don't understand what I'm saying, sir. But his inner indoor was the secret of the outdoor. I get what I'm saying? There was a man called Charles Finney. Have you heard of Charles Finney? I suppose I've done a lot in this teaching, but I don't know how far I can go. We'll pray. There was a man called Charles Finney. Have you heard of Charles Finney? I was talking to you this morning and I said, one of the challenges we're having today is that we are shouting Christianity, shouting ministry, shouting power, shouting this, shouting that. But who are we? We are a generation of successors who don't know our predecessors. So how can you succeed somebody that you don't know? And that's why today, Christianity looks like drama. Is that not so? Because if I asked, I was in Accra, I was asking them, do you know, nobody was knowing. A man of God said something, he said, when we were teenagers, when we were young guys, our competition then was, how many of Kenneth Hagin's book have you read? Me, I've read 5. You say, how many? Say, I've read 3. Oh, I senior you now. You say, okay, next week you come, he say, I've read 7. You have read. That's the competition. But today was our competition. So we are a generation of successors who do not know who we are succeeding. And sir, if you do not know who you are succeeding, there's a tendency that you will fail. Yeah. But we need to wake up. Because who are we succeeding? Who do we know? How many of us know these successors? How many of us? I began to read on Reviver. If you go to my laptop, you see book, you see materials I downloaded on Reviver. There was a book that I lost, 10 Greatest Reviver. I'm praying for God to help me get it back again. I couldn't finish reading it, but I started reading something. At least I started reading something. If you don't know the predecessors, how can you succeed them? Look at Christianity. It's not drama. It's not drama we are doing. We are dramatizing. We are playing movies. But the fathers of old did not dramatize, sir. They didn't dramatize. Charles Finney, was a man who, when he's coming into a city, You see, and let me tell you something. Our reading about James Strong. Remind me to tell you about James Strong. Yeah. Charles Finney was a man that when he's coming to a city, he's on the sea, he's on the ship, as he's getting close to the seashore, he will just stretch out his hand like this. He's not yet at the seashore. He's getting close to the seashore. He just stretches out his hand like this in the ship. And as he stretches out his hand, you see people on the seashore that are waiting for the boat. Just see them start asking themselves, why am I still committing sin? Why am I still sinning? Oh, somebody said, no cigarette. Why am I smoking this cigarette? He throws away the cigarette. Oh, he said, lady, prostitute. Oh, why am I still prostituting? Oh, why am I still? They just asking themselves, why am I committing sin? He has not preached, or he's still on the sea. He has not reached shore. He only stretched out hand. My brothers, my sister, and already convicted of their sin. And as he comes on the shore, they are weeping already, waiting for him. All he does, he leads them to Christ and enter the next junction. One day, he entered the bus. As he entered the bus, everybody in the bus started crying. Crying for their sins. And all he did was, what you need is Jesus. What you need is Jesus. He just leads them to Christ. And that's all. My God, this work abuse you if you know indoor business. Another case, he was in a motor park. And in the motor park, two women were making jest of him. They were laughing at him. They were laughing at him. They said, who is this old man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? Who is this man? And as they were laughing at him, he looked at them. And he said, hello, sisters. As he looked at them, they started crying. They started crying. They were crying for their sins. And what did he do? He just led them to Christ and moved on his journey. But the secret of that man's ministry was one man. After some years, Charles Finney went on the field again and he discovered that people were stoning him. Are you get what I'm saying? They were stoning him. See the kind of ministry he was operating before, is that not so? But after some years, he went to the same field again, not because he committed sin, but people were stoning him. No, the power was no longer moving. And he asked the Lord, what happened? And the Lord told him, didn't you know the secret of that power you're experiencing? That revival. It was a man called Father Nash. Father Nash was a quiet, calm, gentle, elderly man. You don't hear his words. He doesn't talk. But when Father Nash comes into town, kilometers away, they will know Father Nash has entered town. He was a man of chronic prayers. Not this kind of prayer we are praying. No. God, give me a car or I die. John Knox saying, Lord, give me Scotland or I die. We are praying, God, give me husband or I die. God, give me wife or I die. God, give me a car. That's not what I'm talking about. There were men that were praying for the kingdom of God to be established here on earth. Thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy will be done. Let your rule and reign be done here. Father Nash, they say when he comes to an environment, the atmosphere will change. The atmosphere will change. And people will say, Father Nash is around, he's around, he's around. He didn't need to tell people he's around. As he comes with kingdom, the kingdom of God. So it changes the atmosphere. So they will say, it's like Father Nash is around. It's like Father Nash is around. It's like that man has come. It's like, before you know, they know that he's actually, and that sense he's around actually. Don't need to talk. That was the man behind Charles Finney's ministry. When Father Nash died, nobody to carry that kind of indoor revival anointing again. And so he goes out and people were stoning him. And God told him, that is his secret. Charles Finney, Father Nash was your secret. He said, so what do I do now, Lord? God said, except you can create another Father Nash. I said, God, I didn't create the first one. How will I create another one? Then God said, if you cannot create another Father Nash, don't go outdoor again. Stay indoor. Remain in your church till you go. And remain a church pastor till the pastor. My brothers, revival begins indoor and ends outdoor. Revival begins with self and what? Ends with the people. So it means that you begin by praying for yourself and repenting in your closet And it metamorphoses into your taking responsibility for the sins of the people and crying to God for mercy. So if revival ends with you, then it is what? Incomplete. Are we together? Because God did not save you for you alone. God saved you and sent you to others. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. He says, go ye therefore and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You want to pray for an anointing for personal revival. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody needs to tell you, wake up and pray. Oh, God. I remember when they told my pastor, then one of my pastors then told me, said, for God to use you, you have to be a man of night prayers. He only said it in church. Are you getting what I'm saying? All of us were there when he said it. But nobody told me, 2 a.m. I wake up. Till 5 a.m. He only passed a statement. Are you getting what I'm saying? But nobody told me the cry inside of me. Are you getting me? It woke me up. Somebody sent a message my wife and told my wife, please encourage these people. And my wife was like, how will I encourage them now? And I told my wife, who is encouraging me? Man of God, who is encouraging me? Okay. I listened to a great man of God, and it was in a pastor's conference. I traveled from Nigeria to Ghana for that conference. And he said, as a minister of the gospel, external encouragement does not last. He said, it's only the one you have on the inside that will last you. That's why I don't know how to encourage people. Because, my brother, do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what I'm going through? And I'm still coming to lead you for the revival prayer. And I said, some of us don't know where the next money is coming from. We are leading the revival prayer. In fact, I preached the most when I was in my most trying times. Sorry. So I don't have to encourage people. Because the person who encourages me, you also have him. So he will encourage you. I get what I'm saying? Nobody told me. I sparked it up. It sparked up on the inside. See, the anointing for indoor revival. Nobody will tell you, you enter your closet. You will pray for more of God. You pray for an awakening. You pray for the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. You pray for the Holy Spirit to burst out on the inside of you. You pray for living water to your prayer life will just be changing, will just be progressing until it now becomes an outdoor thing. You'd have been so full to overflowing. But my brother, until you are full, you can overflow. Personal revival. The anointing to pray for personal revival. The anointing to pray for personal revival. Because until it becomes personal, it cannot become what? Impersonal. When that anointing rests upon us, nobody wake you up by 2 a.m. Last time you're telling me, the first meeting we had, you said you were away from 12 a.m. Did that wake you up? It's something that woke you up. The hunger inside woke you up. Are you getting what I'm saying? I came to meet you praying this morning. Did I tell you to come and pray? I was coming, when I saw the place, they were already praying. I was there by 6:01. They were already praying. I said, maybe they're having another prayer meeting, so let me wait outside. But I said, let me see, look inside. He said, as you come inside, I said, did you do that? He said, no, they were waiting for me. I said, serious? Okay, it is well. That's what we are talking about, sir. Nobody will tell you. They will not preach message for you to say, brethren, pray. Pray what? Pray what? Jesus told the disciples, study in Jerusalem. Until you be endued the power, they were to wait for 10 days. In that 10 days, Jesus told about 500 people to tarry. From 500 that he told while he was ascending, it dropped from 500 to 120. Just in 10 days. Just in 10 days, the population dropped from 500 to what? 120. It tells you how people are hungry for personal revival and how people are not hungry. Only 10 days, tarry ye, they could not tarry. There are some people who had more important business to meet up with than the business of Jesus. It's like some of us have things to do, but we know that this necessity is laid on us. Personal revival is not what they preach to you. It's what you catch by the Spirit. And when we pray for this personal revival, for this anointing of personal revival, see, we'll not tell some of us will just, before you know, begin to take some steps for God that we cannot explain. We start doing things for God that we cannot explain. Nobody will tell you, just start doing it for the Lord. Because you have caught it. I believe somebody is ready for personal revival. If you are ready for personal revival, lift up your hands and stand on your feet.
I say, Lord, baptize me with the anointing of personal revival.
Indoor revival. Let no man tell me what to do.
Let your spirit be the one driving me. Let your spirit be the one driving me. Let your spirit be the one pushing me. Let us be the one igniting me. We are past the level where pastor will say pray before you pray. We are past the level where pastor will push you before you are pushed. We are not pushed and start Christian, sir. We are men of God that have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The anointing for personal revival. Where the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be driving us. The Holy Spirit will be driving us. Let the anointing rest on us. That even when we are tired, we are still praying. Mesute lise tu kerete, redebe kue pelegedeswa, rakende leke tolobosa, rembregede lebedesha, rapaka toloborodosha, repe. Bebedesha, rapakato lobodosha, rembegedele bebedesha, rapakata labaradasha, rebele bebele 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 gedosha, rapeketele bebele 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 bedesha, rembregedele bebele bebedesha, ripala babadara babadasha, repeketele bebele bebele gedosha, rapiyakata lababadosha, repeketiyada lababadasha, repeketele bebele bebele Bebedesha, rapakata la balada da basha. The anointed Lord for personal revival. Rapping
Beloved, thank you for listening to this teaching. We believe you've been blessed listening to this teaching from God's Word. May your soul remain ever refreshed and revived. We would love to hear your praise report today. Kindly send it to us via email, chimdeoahunaministry@gmail.com. I would love to request, if you have not made the Lord Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, why not make it a date? Why not make this prayer today? Answer this call of salvation and repeat after me. Dear Abba Father, I know and accept that I am a sinner. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for me. I confess my sins to you and denounce sin and the devil. With my heart, I believe in and receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. With my mouth, I confess the Lordship of Jesus over my life. Thank you, Abba Father, for making me your child and for making me a new creation. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you want to give your love seed of any amount to Grace Life Coming Podcast, kindly use any of our giving channels available to give in dollars. You can send to Universal Merchant Bank, Ghana. Account number 0331545512013 with SWIFT code MBGHGHAC. And to give in CDs, you can still send via Universal Merchant Bank Ghana. Account number 0332545512017. And to give in Naira, you can send through Ecobank Nigeria, account number 554-102-0592. For further inquiries and mobile money payments, or even sending us a WhatsApp, kindly use the number +233-54-594-7132. God bless you. Jesus is Lord.